Hello, friends and neighbors. Dr. Ken Berry here. I've got a very special guest with me this afternoon. I can't wait to introduce you to. I've had a huge doctor crush on her for years. I've read all of her books, all of her blog posts, and I saw that she was talking about this very timely subject. And so I had to have her on and pick her immense brain about this topic. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that there is an infant formula shortage and that many mothers are scrambling and have high anxiety and very worried about where their next can of infant formula is coming from. Really the only advice they've been given is to just call your pediatrician, which the pediatricians I know, they're probably not anxious to be getting all those phone calls because they're like, what am I supposed to do about this? But that's literally the guidance that many moms have been given. And so I have with me today Dr. Kate Shanahan. Let me bring her up and introduce her. There she is. Welcome, doctor. I'm not sure if your audio is no audio, Kate. We can't hear you. Can you hear me? Work on that audio for a second. We're going to get our technical difficulties situated here. No, still no audio. Can you hear me, Kate? Not if you can hear me. Here we go. Maybe she's going to fix it. Still no audio. No audio. We can't hear you. Now she's looking. Okay. So Kate is a family physician. She's been doing this probably as many years as I have. And she's made a particular study of infant formula, of breastfeeding, of ways to make your own infant formula if you don't have access to the store-bought kind. How about now, Dr. Shanahan, are you with me? No audio. No, still no audio. Whatever you did, undo it.
I had to unmute myself. I'm sorry. As I've never done one of these things before.
Welcome. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with me today talking about this very important topic. And I'm going to introduce you quickly. You're a family physician. You've been practicing how many years?
Lots, 25.
Oh, you got me beat. Okay. I'm just a young boy compared to Dr. Shanahan. She's been doing this 25 years. And for those of you who may not know, a family physician, we take care of patients of all ages, including newborns. I don't know where you train, Kate, but I, at the University of Tennessee and in my residency, I delivered hundreds of babies and first assisted on hundreds of C-sections. We had newborns in our practice daily. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump into this very important topic.
I trained in family medicine at the University of Arizona after going to medical school at Rutgers in New Jersey. And yeah, we just same idea. We train in how to deliver babies, how to take care of newborns, healthy ones, and ones and newborns that need to go to the neonatal intensive care unit. And, you know, we also learn emergency care. So actually the first year out, I was in emergency room doc in a rural area, which is really challenging. And then after that, I kind of started moving around a lot. I went to Hawaii. I spent 11 years there. That's where I really had my eyes opened about what nutrition actually was. And the fact that we are, as doctors, are seriously miseducated on that very important subject. So that's where I started writing books about it and doing a lot of research to try and figure out what I really should be telling my patients to do, to eat, and not eat. And it completely revolutionized the way I practice medicine. And frankly, and I'm sure you experienced this, it made it really hard to practice medicine in the standard insurance office relationship hospital setting, because it's too speedy. There's no incentive to keep people healthy. And all of my colleagues thought, I was a little off the wall. I don't know if you had to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first probably 10 years of my practice, I practiced traditional allopathic medicine. Here, take these pills, inject this, you know, eat lots of whole grains, drink fruit juice smoothies, go to the gym, just the standard idiotic advice. And when I started to get fat, all of a sudden it became much more important to me that maybe I was giving the wrong nutrition advice. And I think I like the term you use, because most doctors are uneducated on nutrition at all. But then the few that do receive any education are very often miseducated or maleducated, and where they come away thinking they know what they should know, but they've been misinformed. And so they're actually giving dangerous, harmful nutrition advice. And I don't think nutrition is important for every human being on the planet, but there's a special set of human beings where nutrition is literally life and death. And that's newborns and infants for the first 12 months of their life. And so I know most of our viewers have been following the news that infant formula, because of a recall and a plant closure and then other kind of pipeline issues, it's become very hard for some mothers to find infant formula. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to let you share your wisdom and knowledge with my listeners about the whole infant formula industry and breastfeeding in general. And then I know at the end of this video, you want to share a formula for infant formula, a recipe, if you would, of how people can make their own formula if they just can't find infant formula in the store and they just don't have access to a mother who's breastfeeding.
That's great. Absolutely. You're so right that it is vitally important for infants, and that reality that infants are very fragile compared to, you know, adults and even children over the age of five. The reality that they're so fragile, I think, has been used to wrongly terrify women into submitting to the great forces of big pharma and big processed food that want them to buy powdered infant formula or reconstituted powdered infant formula that they call ready to drink. But all of those products, all of the standard infant formula, the popular ones, Similac, yeah, all of them, they are processed food. Let's be clear on that, because processed food is less healthy than real food. And that's why I am so adamant that it would be so much better to make your own. I know it's a lot harder, but instead of having the nutritionists and dietitians shame women who are trying to share their recipes and share their experience of how to make homemade formula, I really wish they would use their expertise to support the women trying to do that, because they're like better positioned than anyone to be an ally to women who are trying to make their own formula. But getting back to the processed food thing. So this ties a little bit to my origin story as a wannabe nutrition guru. The first thing I really did was decide that most of what I had been eating was processed food. Like most of what's in the grocery store is made out of just three ingredients, some kind of protein powder. These are the same ingredients that are in infant formula. So that's why it's relevant. Some kind of protein powder. So in infant formula, it's usually whey protein powder. Some kind of sugar or carbohydrate. And in infant formula, there's all different sorts of sugars that they use. Some is just sugar. Some is lactose, which is more appropriate. And the third thing, which was really the most distressing of all of them, is the seed oils, the vegetable oils that are processed industrial oils that literally did not exist before the industrial era. That's in all junk food. It's in those three things are how they manufacture processed food. And everybody knows processed food is the reason that we have these obesity, diabetes, and disease epidemics. Nobody would argue about that. But for some reason, when it comes time to get real and say, well, what is it about processed food that's so damaging? Everybody scatters. They run. They're like afraid to say the truth. And the reality is, it's these industrially processed plant-based seed oils. Not that plant-based is bad, it's that these seed oils are bad. The refined sugars and carbs and the protein powders. And that's as simple as it really is. That's it. Those three ingredients are what's making everybody fat and sick. And Abbott and Similac, they want to get your children started out on those three processed ingredients early in life so they can get hooked on processed food early in life and do their consumer thing by being sick, just the way adults get sick when we eat processed food. That's why there's such a difference. This is something nobody like really brings up, Dr. Barry. Or do you go by Ken?
Either way, just don't forget to call me. Whatever you call me is fine.
So the thing that nobody really wants to say is that we know that breast milk is fantastic. It's like this miracle, right? It has more than 200 different types of carbohydrates in it. It has stem cells in it. It has so much in it. It's so much more complicated than anything we could ever manufacture.
Yes, 100%.
But the choices for women are that or this processed three ingredient thing. So what I'm saying is this crazy idea about, hey, you know what? Is it so far from that? From human milk is cow's milk. Let's maybe start with some high quality cow's milk. And yeah, there's big differences between human milk and cow's milk. So let's fiddle with that a little bit. Let's add maybe a little more lactose sugar. Let's add some certain special fatty acids for brain health. If you want to get really fancy, you can add certain kinds of resistant starches and so on. But you know, that's the conversation we should have had as soon as we found out how fantastic mother's milk was.
Yes. And, you know, in my training as a family physician, we talked about breast milk and we maybe got a lecture or two on it. But we basically were taught it's just a liquid like any other liquid. And we were also not explicitly taught, but implicitly allowed to believe that formula, Similac, Enfamil, Prosobi, these things are just as good as breast milk. It's really a coin toss. It really doesn't make any difference whatsoever. And I remember years ago, early in my medical practice, I read a book called Unlatched. I forget the author's name. It's a great book about breastfeeding. And in there, she said, breast milk is a living liquid tissue. It is not just a liquid like motor oil or like, you know, some kind of protein drink. It is a living tissue that changes from minute to minute, depending on the age of the baby, the health of the baby, the feedback mother gets from the baby. And so that's when I really became interested, like, oh, this is more than just a liquid. And so the more I read about it, the more impressed I was with almost the miraculous nature of breast milk and what it is and what it does. Mother's milk even has sugars in it that are not even for the baby. They're to feed the baby's gut bacteria. And so you're talking about secondary and tertiary and probably quaternary things going on in this living tissue that's made exclusively for this one baby by this one mother. And then to think that Nestle, who makes chocolate milk, or Danone, who makes sugary yogurt, to even pretend that them or Mead Johnson or Abbott or any of these multi-billion dollar multinational corporations can in any way simulate that. It's idiotic on its face for us to have fallen for that bullshit lie. That's just me saying it like it is. But there's been so much advertising. So many young physicians and young dietitians have been basically hijacked by these huge corporations and their grants and they're this and they're that and they're gifts, that we are all utterly confused about just how miraculous breast milk is and what a poor, poor, poor substitute factory-made formula is for breast milk.
And I think an important and very related point to that is that when they do all these studies, you know, we've probably, any mom out there has heard, yeah, breast milk is better. And here's what the difference is between children who got breast milk and children who got formula. And they go on about how they have less allergies. They have a more like larger brain size, and so especially in certain areas of the brain, they have more white matter development, they have higher IQs, they're more likely to go on to higher education, they're less likely, I mean, it's like it never ends, the benefits of breastfeeding, but they're less likely to have like a childhood cancers, they're less likely to have adult diabetes and even heart attacks. And what I'm saying is that part of the difference here, it's not that if you don't breastfeed your baby that your child is doomed to all that. It's that the alternative, they're comparing it to the worst of the worst possible thing that is like barely keeping the child alive and barely keeping them, you know, functional, right? Like we there are studies that show that formula fed children have like they tend to be more delayed on their milestones, right? So it's barely keeping them functional. And many children who are formula fed have to switch from one formula to another because their digestive systems aren't working right. So that's what I mean by barely functional. And they start, they can be weaned later in life. So it's true. It's just, it does help them look like they're healthy because they are getting bigger. It's really good at making them larger than putting on fat. But, it doesn't help them thrive. And they really are just barely, barely functional because of the formula, not because of the lack of breast milk. That's the point that I really want to drive home here is that you make it yourself and you can start out using some of these near miraculous ingredients. Like, I mean, cow milk is every bit as miraculous as human milk. It's just more miraculous for the calves. Yes, I'll admit that. It's designed for them, not for us. But we can modify it. And we can get high quality milk too, higher quality than what they even use as a source for their whey protein powder. You can get grass-fed milk and it's got many more nutrients in there than regular milk. And in some cases, more nutrients than mother's milk. Because the health of the milk is really a reflection of the health of the animal's diet, right? And if mom's not eating well, not able to look after her diet, or she smokes, then the quality of the milk, we know that's not as good either.
Yes, absolutely. And there's actually quite a bit of research about the problems that exclusively formula-fed infants tend to have later in life. And there's a long list. And the problem with this research is that it has to be epidemiological, right? It can't be randomized control. You can't take one baby and say, I'm just going to give you K-Ro syrup and you know, dried milk. And that's all you get. I'm sorry, because that's unethical. And so we can't do control studies. But what I saw was there'd be a very large epidemiological research study come out showing that the risk of type 1 diabetes is higher in infant fed babies, type 2 diabetes, learning delay, all kinds of delays. And then a few months later would be another study come out. Almost in every situation, the researchers in that study had been supported, at least in some part, by some of the formula manufacturers, and they would come out with another study that showed, oh, there's no difference between breast-fed babies and formula-fed babies. And that pattern repeats. These honest researchers would find, ooh, there's a problem here. This is not good. Their IQ's a little lower. Then a few months later, a year later, here's another big study that's basically funded by Nestle or Danone or one of these guys. It says, oh, no, there's no difference at all. That was just they made a mistake in that study. And we're just left with this muddy water of all these studies that one show this, one shows no, there's no difference at all. And so what if anything, would you like to share with the moms listening and all the other people as well? We've got almost 1,000 people watching right now. What would you like to share with them about Nestle and Danone and Mead Johnson and Kraft Heinz and all these huge corporations that make infant formula, which I agree with you. I think it's highly processed powdered junk food.
Yeah, the thing to know, it's always good to know who you're dealing with when you're buying products. And these guys are like, for example, Abbott, they own companies that sell just nothing but junk food. There's, you know, they sell ice cream, they sell desserts, they sell candy, they sell cookies, they sell, oh, and by the way, they sell diabetes drugs. Right. So and the, you know, the reason it's important to know what other products they make is when you look at what they're made out of, it's the same three major processed ingredients that they just keep like varying the flavoring agents a little bit, or they vary the formula just a little bit. And like you include a little bit more, like you say, starting with infant formula. Let's say you just add a little bit more cream, you chill it out, you liquefy it, and add a little bit more skim milk powder so it stays thick, add a lot more sugar. Well, now you have ice cream. You can make it out of infant formula. And they just fiddle with the formula so that they purchase the same major ingredients and they just recycle them into different products. So we're really eating junk food, you know, when we're buying this life-sustaining stuff from companies that sell mostly junk food and or drugs when you get sick from your diet of their products. So they get you coming and going. I mean, it's really a great, genius business model. And no wonder they run everything.
Yeah, I've never actually thought of it that way before, but that's an excellent point. These huge multinational corporations like Nestle and Danone and Kraft Heinz make exclusively junk food. That literally every product on their roster is junk food made of basically sugar, grains or soy and vegetable seed oils. But then somehow we expect them to magically, when it comes to making infant formula, that's not going to be junk food. That's somehow going to be magically different. They're going to step it up and they're not going to worry about profit. They're going to use the best stuff and make the best formula on the planet. These are junk food manufacturers. What the hell do you expect them to make?
I couldn't have said it better myself. Yes. Thank you. And you know, I didn't know this until just a few months ago when I started like researching a little bit more, that in order for a woman to get the infant formula, it had to be prescribed by a doctor. This was when, you know, that relationship started in the 1940s, when they really started, the companies would, there were traveling salesmen, just like there's traveling pharmaceutical reps. And they would travel from doctor's office, hospital to hospital, gynecologic ward, making rounds, hit every doctor and just brainwash them with this disinformation about how fantastic their product was so that the doctors would prescribe it. And I'm not sure, but I think back in the day, doctors were allowed to sell out of their offices, you know, the same way that veterinarians are allowed to sell out of this. So they would just make a profit, right? I mean, it's a very good, another element of a good business model. We can't do that so directly anymore. We can't do that. But that is how it, one way, one of the big reasons that that it just exploded out of nowhere in the 40s. But another thing is that they told doctors, this stuff is more perfect than breast milk. And of course, we believed it.
Yeah. It's very common for drug reps and infant formula reps to tell doctors things that are just not true. When Valium was first put on the market, they told doctors, this is not habit forming. You can give this to every disgruntled housewife in your practice. It's not habit forming at all. They said the same thing about OxyContin. If your patient is having true pain, they're not going to get addicted to this. But yet somehow when it comes to all these claims, doctors just blindly believe the drug rep or the infant formula rep. And it makes you worry about doctors sometimes, like, how gullible are you, doctor, to just think, oh, this guy works for that company. But yet, since he said this is actually better than breast milk, I guess I'll just believe that and start telling all my patients that.
I tell you what, it took a lot for me to start being suspicious, like to be that suspicious person. But when I did, I realized, wow, well, that's where all the answers are. That solves all the mysteries, you know, like all these idiopathic diseases and why the children have more and more allergies. That's a known, right? That children are having more allergies to more food and the reactions are more serious. Well, has our food changed? Yes, it has. But peanuts really are basically the same as they ever were. Most peanuts don't get that much chemical soaked on them. It's not like corn and wheat and soy, the big ones. They don't need that much. So it's not the chemicals. It's not the food. It's the children's immune systems that are different. And why is that happening? Well, because they're raised on pro-inflammatory ingredients. That's why I'm harping on that. These ingredients are processed food ingredients promote inflammation, and inflammation completely destroys your body's ability to function. And the immune system is particularly sensitive to that. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. And so let's move on to breast milk. I know you wanted to discuss breast milk a little bit and the how it changes from literally day to day, the age of the infant, the health of the infant, what the infant needs, the feedback the infant's giving the mom. It's I don't know if we'll ever fully understand everything that's in human breast milk and every interaction between the mother and the infant. I think it's still magic, which is the definition of magic is if we don't understand how it works, then you have to call it magic until you understand it. And there are so many things about breastfeeding and about the interactions between mother and infant. We just don't understand yet. We try to pretend like we do, don't we? But when the truth comes out, we're like, yeah, I don't know why that happens or what causes that.
Yes. So to talk about the reason I wanted to talk about the miraculousness of breast milk and the changeability of it is because the infant formulas don't change. And the dietitians who say, shame on you for spreading recipes for making infant formula, they act as though there's only one formula for breast milk, but it changes, like you said, day to day. And it really changes during the lactation period. So in the beginning, there's a lot more sugar. And as the baby grows, somewhere around 4, 5, 6 months, some women, it starts as early as 2 months, the proportion of sugar drops significantly, and it's mostly fat. And a lot of other electrolytes change. And so what scares women away from making their own formula at home is this information that they've read on the web of, no, you're going to mess it up. The baby needs to have exactly what we do, exactly the right amount of electrolytes, exactly the right amount of protein, carbs, and fat particularly. But that's changeable. It's all changeable. It changes based on hydration state of mom. And we know this. So that's really something that I wanted to bring up, really just to say it's so complicated that the formula manufacturers are nowhere near figuring it out. So when they try to tell you it's our way or the highway, they're lying because they know there's a lot of different formulations in breast milk, and different manufacturers have different philosophies about what is the electrolyte balance, what is the protein carb to fat ratio. Even though they all use, you know, processed food and stuff, they still add different amounts of these key things in there that the people who are telling us not to make our own seem to ignore that reality, that from manufacturer to manufacturer, there's drastic differences. So really just follow a formula that has been used, that has been proven at least by maybe tens of thousands of women who've read the recipe, right? And a lot of these come from really like old wives' tale type knowledge, which is not something to be dismissed. I mean, you know, like we knew a lot about this before infant formula factories existed, and we should carry forward some of that knowledge.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's very telling that Nestle, who makes, you know, Nesquik, the chocolate milk drink that's just pure sugar, they make tons of junk food. They can't even get real food right. They can't make, and so any of my listeners are going to know better. If something says Nestle on the package, they're never going to touch that. They know that's going to be inflammatory. That's going to raise their blood sugar. It's not health food, right? It's not human food. If Danone is making anything, my viewers know I'm not going to eat that. That's crap. If Kraft Heinz has made something, they're like, no, you know, they put canola oil in that or soybean oil. I'm not eating that. But yet then the average mom, based on the advice she gets from the pediatrician, I don't know. We're getting some feedback there somewhere. Where's that coming?
Yes, something happened. I don't know, but I fixed it. So sorry. Okay.
But we as adults know I don't trust Kraft Heinz with my health. I don't trust Nestle with my health. But yet mothers are cajoled by well-meaning but misinformed pediatricians and neonatologists who say, oh, no, Enfamil's fine, Prosobi's fine, Similac's fine. It's just as good as breast milk here. They can't get real food right for adults. How do you expect them to get the most exquisitely perfect food for human babies known on the planet? Like literally nothing comes close to breast milk. How are they going to get that right? They can't get that right. That's the answer. So I know that you've got a couple of recipes, and a lot of people are asking in the comments, do you have a recipe? Do you have an alternative? Because Beckett, my 2.5-year-old son, if I was going to let him go spend a week with his grandparents, and they're like, well, what do you want me to feed him? I would be like, well, just anything that's made by Nestle or Kraft or Danone, that'd be fine. Just feed him that. No, actually, don't feed him anything made by Kraft Heinz or Nestle or Danone. What I want you to do is I want you to prepare real food for him based on recipes that have been in the family for hundreds of years. And so you've got some recipes for infant formula and also you've got a post on this on your website that I'm going to link to as soon as this live is over. I'm going to add that link to the recipe. So if any of you guys, if you have a family member looking for a recipe that you can make actual nutritious infant formula, still not as good as breast milk, let's not kid ourselves, but it's going to be 1,000 times better than anything Nestle or Danone or Kraft Heinz makes. Talk to us about that. What are your favorite animal milks to start with as a base and then go into some of these recipes?
Yeah, so my favorite animal milks to start with as a base is either cow's milk or goat's milk. Those are both great. But what really matters about the milk is not that, you know, not what brand it is, but that it's grass-fed, because the cows are supposed to be eating grass. And when we feed cows, you know, we have cows confined in these CAFOs and they eat corn and soy and really cheap stuff. Their milk is very, very different and much less nutritious. So if any, you can get grass-fed milk from pretty much any Whole Foods, but it's becoming more and more easy to find, even in like, well, I live in Florida, so we've got Publix here. I know you can get it at Aldi's. You can get it at Wegmans. You can get it in like a lot of grocery store chains where it's not just organic. It's actually better than organic. It's more nutritious. Like organic just really refers to there's not like pesticides and herbicides used in the feed. And no antibiotics, of course. But the pasture, the grass, that is a proper nutrition for a cow. And it creates much healthier milk, much more full of vitamins. It's a different color too. Often you can just see it's like I got a yellow color from all the nice, beautiful vitamins, vitamin K, vitamin A in there. So like that's a key starting material. And then there's some major differences between human milk and cow's milk. And one of them, surprisingly, this was surprising to me until I looked into it, was protein. So cow's milk has something like three times the protein of infant milk, or mother's milk. And it has less sugar. We actually have more, like sugar, way more sugar, like three times more sugar in mother's milk, at least in the first month or two of the whole breastfeeding cycle. There's three times the amount of sugar as a protein, right? So that was a shock, because I was like, wow, we start out sort of as sugarholics a little bit.
Yep. And I think there's still some debate about whether all that sugar's for the baby or whether that sugar is for the baby's developing gut microbiome. And so that there may be a reason why human milk is so much higher in lactose than cow's milk. Let me add this, doctor, before you continue. For all my adult watchers and viewers, I always say, yeah, grass-fed, grass-finished, that's better, 3 to 5% better. But if all you can afford is the cheap meat at the grocery store, that's still 1,000 times better than the Doritos, right? But I do think when you're talking about making infant formula, grass-fed matters. I think it matters enough that you need to seek out a good source of grass-fed, grass-finished milk so that the cow or the goat or the sheep or the camel, depending on what part of the world you live in, ate nothing but its species-appropriate diet while the milk was being made. I think that's very, very important that I say that, because for adults, yeah, you can eat the grain-fed meat. It's okay. It's not great, but it's still not a big deal. But for infants, yeah, you need grass-fed milk.
100%. Yeah, that's a great way of like kind of triaging where are you going to spend your money on the quality stuff. So another thing. So the ingredients, I'm sorry, the recipes include ingredients that bump up the sugar a little bit, and specifically lactose sugar, right? That's the type of sugar that is the most common sugar in breast milk. What's missing from all the recipes that we can make ourselves, that the formula companies do have access to and they can supply, is this stuff called human milk oligosaccharides that is there to, definitely we know that there's, with the babies don't afford that. It's for their the bacteria in the gut so that they get the right kind of bacteria growing in their guts from the beginning. So we don't have really access to that yet, but guess what? There's like hundreds of those, and the formula companies, they only put one in there because it's super expensive ingredient. So they got that, but they only got one type. So I don't know how useful that really is. So you also want to have, you got to add some cream in there because the fat content in human milk is higher than cows. And then we have things like you should add sources of B vitamins, and one of the best sources is nutritional yeast flakes. And you want to also add some of the more specialized fatty acids, right, that they are present, specialized fatty acids that are special for the baby's brain and nervous system, the unsaturated fatty acids, especially the highly unsaturated fatty acids that like come from fish oil. So I recommend a good quality fish oil. That's hard to find. Okay. Yep. There's a lot of garbage fish oils out there. So I have some brands that I recommend, and I have some like descriptions that I recommend too, so people know what to look for if they can't find those two brands for whatever reason, since we're having all these shortages now.
I've got a lot of questions coming in, Doc, about what are your thoughts about raw milk versus homogenized and pasteurized milk?
That question is a very good one, because for the most part, when you look at homemade formulas, the ones that come up first for me always have raw milk as the source of milk. And I would say that, you know, in theory, that is better. But in reality, I wouldn't take the risk And what I mean is, if you've been feeding your baby infant formula and suddenly you're switching to raw milk, you really probably need to stay away from the raw. You need the pasteurized stuff because the formula has such toxic oils in there and just everything wrong that will breed the wrong kind of bacteria in the gut. And that would make it so, the child would be so much more susceptible to getting an infection because raw milk can spread infections. I drink raw milk, right? I don't know about you, but I love it. I drink it. And have I had an infection from it? Yeah, I did, because I live in Florida where it's like boiling hot. And sometimes they just can't keep the cows clean. And I was buying milk from a farmer who was like elderly, they said, and they didn't think you could die. I had all the stomach aches. So I switched to a different farm and the stomach aches went away. But yeah, so like in theory, it would be better for a lot of reasons. I mean, there's so many amazing things about raw milk, just like breast milk. But so pasteurization makes it safe. There's another element of the processing that doesn't make it any safer that is a good thing to know about. It's the homogenizing. So homogenizing keeps the cream from raising to the top, right? And we in America, we just do not like to see our milk have anything but like look like a jar of paint. It should look like a jar of white paint. It should never separate. There shouldn't be cream on top. There shouldn't be lumps. It should always be the same. Well, you know, real raw milk is a living food, like you said, and it will change. That's how we invented yogurt, cheese, kefir, all this stuff. But if you get pasteurized, unhomogenized milk, that's great because what it preserves, these very important things that are the fat delivery vehicles that have all the fat soluble vitamins and all the brain building fatty acids called the milk fat globules. It's literally like this thing you can see under a microscope, a simple ordinary microscope. You can look and you can see that there are little blobs, cute little blobs. And what they are is a three membrane layered, like almost like a miniature form of a cell, really, that has all kinds of proteins embedded in the surface. The reason it's so important in, when you're buying milk is because it keeps the fatty acids inside there from reacting with the minerals in ways that make it less digestible. They actually can form soaps when they combine with each other. And so like these weird combinations of things that happen when you bake milk and then you homogenize it, that's got to have a lot to do with why children have food intolerances to it. I mean, you're making soap. That can't be good for a baby's gut.
Yep, I totally agree. And so it's been our experience. Beckett's 2.5 years old now, and he drinks goat's milk. He seems to have much more gastrointestinal reaction to cow's milk. And so he loved goat's milk when he was weaned when he was maybe 2 years old. And he's been on goat's milk, and he'll stay on goat's milk until he's 4, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there where ancestrally human beings stopped drinking milk. And that there comes a time for that. And so including you, Dr. Shanahan, you're too old to be drinking cow's milk. What are you doing? So that's my personal belief. But let's talk more about the formula that you've got. And I've got a link, guys. I'm going to add it to the show notes of this video as soon as this video is over, that Dr. Shanahan put together for all you guys. That's got, I think, 3 different recipes. Starting with different bases to make infant formula, should you not be able to breastfeed, should you not be able to find a wet nurse or someone you can that you trust, you can buy breast milk from, then you can make these formulas. So tell us more about these recipes that you have.
Well, one of the key things is to get a good infant vitamin and add it to the formula, or there are liquids. So you could just drop it in the baby's mouth if we'll take it that way. Because like one of the key things, one of the main reasons that infant formula you buy pre-made powdered has so many ingredients is it's just listing out all the vitamins in there that they add. It's basically like adding a vitamin. So you want to, definitely make sure not to skip on that part. And then if you want to get like really fancy, you can do things like one of the recipes has liver, actually. And so people will do this. They will buy grass-fed liver, either cow or chicken. Cow has a lot more nutrition. Freeze it and then shave off little bits to make each batch a formula. Most people talk about you just like putting it in there and having it raw. I would throw it in with the water that you're heating before you blend it so it gets cooked. They do that because heating destroys the B vitamins, and liver is a fantastic source of B vitamins. But that's another very common ingredient. And it's, if you get your children, you might think, well, my baby's not going to eat that. Well, the earlier you start, they're not going to know. They're going to eat it. They're going to just gobble it right up. And you can actually go to, so where did I get these from, right? I'm not a dietitian. I'm not a pediatrician either. So what I did was I looked at some of the best recipes on the website, but I modified them a little bit because I felt like they needed modification. Like for one thing, I did not want to recommend raw milk. For another thing, I did not want to recommend sunflower oil as a source of polyunsaturated fatty acids. I switched it to hemp or fish oil.
Good, good.
Yeah. But where did they come from? They come mostly from this organization that is a really great organization, but still I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with them because I love this. It's called the Weston A. Price Foundation because I love Weston A. Price. And the foundation has done quite a lot of good. But they're a little like, I don't want to say like strict, maybe militant is a word people have used, not just me, I'm quoting other people. And they make it a little hard. Like one thing that I did not include that I cut out of the recipes that they recommend is whey, liquid whey. Now, what is that? First of all, it's something you cannot find in stores. Amazon doesn't sell it. So, you know, you're going to have a hard time tracking this thing down. It is the clearish material that when, if you've ever had like yogurt sit for a long time in the fridge, plain whole milk yogurt, there's like a clearish material that starts to separate out, that is whey. So it's like the more liquid portion of the milk. And like you would have to make it from literally like yogurt that you have to strain. It's just like a way hard step. You have to deal with cheesecloth, which as much as I love cheese, I hate cheesecloth because I don't know how anyone cleans that stuff. So I skipped that and I just kind of adjusted a few things for that reason. So, but I think it's important to know about that resource, the Weston A. Price Foundation, because they do have a lot of people who are going the distance and making the infant formula themselves. They can help you. There's like an active Facebook group and chat groups and lots of support that you, as far as I can tell, can't find anywhere else.
Sadly. Excellent, excellent resource. And if you know some really good trustworthy Facebook groups, Doctor, shoot me an email message with the links and I will add that to the show notes as well after this video wraps up. I'm very happy to hear that you didn't include any vegetable seed oil in your formula recipes. And you also didn't include any corn syrup or high fructose corn syrup in your recipes, because I think Nestle and Danone, I think they have corn syrup solids in all of their formula recipes. They have either soybean or sunflower or canola oil in all of their formulas. That's where they get the fatty acids from, which I think is atrocious. I recommend that adult humans don't ingest canola, soybean, sunflower, stuff like that. So, but it's okay for the tiniest among us to consume these things. I don't get it. I don't see how it's okay. But they've got the FDA approval. They've got the lobbyists in Congress doing their work. And they've got their reps in the doctor's offices cajoling the doctors into making wrong recommendations. Anything that you'd like to wrap up with, Doctor, to help moms who are maybe freaking out about the formula shortage to help ease their mind and say, hey, it's okay. There's other things you can do.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. There's really, as they say, Fed is best, right? So whatever you got, whatever you can get your hands on. After I posted something on Twitter about this a month ago, there were people that chimed in and said, hey, when I was little, my mom, we were too poor. I grew up on Karo syrup, which is corn syrup, and Carnation infant formula, right? And, you know, so babies are probably not that fragile. But guess what? When they are the most fragile, the first month of life, you're going into the pediatrician every few months. And you can ask your pediatrician, hey, I'm a little bit worried. Could you check the hydration? Could you check maybe a urine dipstick? Maybe the pediatrician can even show you how to use a very simple, really high-tech tool of a urine dipstick. You can buy 50 of them for like $10, and it'll show what the baby's kidneys are doing. It'll show how healthy they are. It'll show a lot of really good stuff. And so, you know, you could ask the pediatrician to say, hey, do you think I'm doing the right thing? You could schedule an appointment with your pediatrician to talk about what you've been doing after you've been doing it for a week or so, and just make sure your baby looks okay. There's support available out there, and don't be ashamed. Be proud of what you're doing, because it's harder than what everyone suggests you're supposed to be doing. It's harder and it's better and it's worth it.
Yes, I totally agree that it's worth it. Every day I encourage adult watchers and followers and friends to go out of their way to find the best quality food they can for themselves as adults. So why would we not also give that same advice to moms who are taking care of the youngest among us? I go out of my way to recommend to people, hey, I don't care how old you are, don't eat junk food. Don't eat highly processed crap that's full of corn syrup and full of vegetable oils. Don't eat that shit. That's bad for you. But yet we're going to turn around and give it to the youngest among us. It blows me away. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on today to talk about this. And for those of you guys looking for the recipes, as soon as this live is over, give me 5 minutes. I'm going to add it to the show notes. You can click refresh, and then the link will be there for Dr. Kate's three different recipes for infant formula that I would 1,000 times over recommend you use instead of the highly processed factory-made junk that Nestle and Danone and Kraft Heinz put on the supermarket shelves for young mothers to give young babies. Tell us where people can find you, Dr. Kate, and anything else that we need to know.
My website is drkate.com, and I've written three books that help people understand what real nutrition is, how people nourish their bodies. If you're a fan of Weston Price, which I am, I like to think that like I stood on the shoulders of that giant when I was writing Deep Nutrition, and I was trying my best to build on his knowledge, because he was an amazing, amazing man. And I wish that I had learned about that work when I was in medical school. It would have changed everything, and I would have been healthier myself. I mean, I got into this because I was sick. That's a whole other story.
Yep, I totally understand. Thank you so much, Dr. Kate Shanahan, for doing this. Thanks for writing the blog post, which I'm going to link to. If any of you guys are looking for a baby infant formula recipe that you can make at home, just like you make real food at home, give me 5 minutes and then check back in the show notes of this video, and the link to Dr. Shanahan's three different recipes will be there. Thank you so much, Doctor, for doing this with me on a Sunday. I greatly appreciate it, and I can't wait to meet you in person one day soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good evening. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me. This will be available for replay on YouTube if you were watching this from Twitter or Facebook. And I'm going to put that link in right now. Give me 5 minutes and then